What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number two. And we're talking with Dustin in New Jersey and how it is that Trump came to have some real, in our opinion, bad advisors around him. And it began on the day when he went into the Oval Office and decided to allow the Obama holdovers to stay. And they immediately started manipulating him to bring in people who would serve the deep state. And then these advisors were basically manipulating Trump to bring in more advisors that serve the deep state. There is another factor. We had an article about this, I think it was last week, about the weaponization of the security clearance process, because everybody who works in the White House has to have a security clearance. And the more important your job is, the higher that security clearance has to be. And the gist of the article was that by simply denying or delaying security clearances for people Trump wanted, they could keep them out of the White House. So, Trump is surrounded by enemies, and they're manipulating him and using him. And maybe he's just decided he's cool with being a single-term president because it's going to look really fine on the resume.
The thing is, though, we said before, he ran, everything he ran on, 99% is not coming to fruition, I think he should know that by now because of, Alex Jones or Michael Savage and, the rest of the people that are angry at him, but he did have, he had ample opportunity to get rid of the people in the CIA and the State Department, and he didn't, and that's his mistake. It's not ours,
He's controlled and compromised. There's no question about that. Of course, Trump supporters are out there saying, well, the major campaign promise he made was to get out of the Iran deal, and he kept that promise. And yes, I will concede that he did, but nobody agreed with it except the neocon warhawks. Two-thirds of the American public think it was a bad idea for Trump to have pulled out of the deal.
How's that making America great again, Mike?
That number is going to go up. Let me get a thought in here. Two-thirds of Americans think that Donald Trump was wrong to pull out of the Iran deal. That number is going to go up when the economic backlash hits us, when all those workers at Boeing lose their jobs, when the prices at the gas pump start going up, when American companies that were doing business in Iran start closing their doors and letting their people go, then that number is going to go up.
Yeah, because Boeing's a big thing.
Yes.
People don't realize pulling out of this, you just stuck Boeing. You gave Boeing the middle finger.
Yep.
We don't make much, but Boeing, we make good airplanes for the most part. Maybe not the F-35 and the F-22 per se. They're not, obviously the F-35 is nowhere near manageable.
Well, that Dreamliner had its issues when it was first launched as well.
It's just a shame. Like, this is what Mike, I think the next person we get for president has got to be right out of kindergarten. Because they're not been compromised yet. Seems like everybody we vote for, Mike, is crap. It's like
yep.
We got dumb and dumber, or evil and eviler.
We learned why in 2016 when we saw the Democratic National Committee basically just get rid of any candidates that wouldn't support the deep state. They cheated Bernie Sanders out of that nomination. They openly admit it. Pelosi came on out and said she doesn't see anything wrong with the party leadership choosing the candidate, which makes a mockery of the whole primary process. Remember when Donald Trump first set foot on the stage, the RNC was out to get rid of him. They did not want him at all. And they were throwing all these other candidates in there to try and just dilute him and get him out there. They even put Ted Cruz in there, who wasn't even eligible to run for the office of president. And in the end, because the American people wanted a true outsider, they voted Trump through the primaries and then they voted him into the White House. And I'm sure they're all very disappointed because he went from being outsider to insider in 5.2 seconds flat.
And Mike, real quick on Syria, the Syrians would have shot at the outpost in Israel. Of course, we know all Israel is the dirty trickster, so false flag, definitely. Because they look at what they've been doing the last couple of days. You just got to follow their past job performance there, and then you see the future, Mike. That's what I see, because it's not going to stop now. You know, it's going to be like this till till the war starts.
No, this is just the beginning. This is the beginning. Yeah. This is the skirmish phase. I think what Israel and the U.S. have realized is that they have to do this now before the anti-war fever builds any higher, both in Israel and the United States. Because, you know, pretty much everybody I talk to, and we have a lot of military here, pretty much everybody I talk to, they're saying, "We're this is a bad idea. We're getting into a mess, and it's a bad idea." So people are really getting fed up with it. Anyway, Dustin, thank you for the call. We're going to let you go. And before we take our last call, before closing the lines here, story just broke over on Fars News, where a Syrian lawmaker came on out and confirmed that the rocket attack on the Israeli military in the Golan was conducted by Syrian's army and not by Iran. So the claim that Iranian forces attacked Israel is an absolute, complete, flat-out lie. All right, we're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. And let's go back to the phones to Mark in North Carolina. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, yeah. Mike, what you just said was confirmed this morning by a reporter from Syria on Faultline with Stranahan, and it's a show on Sputnik News. Stranahan and Nick, so what you just, I just want to ask, I just have a funny feeling, you know, I didn't realize until I saw your website yesterday that Netanyahu was in Moscow for that celebration. I have a feeling, Mike, that there was an agreement. The agreement would have, I believe, was huge. It said, look, as long as you keep the United States out, go do what you got to do, you know, you think you can take these people on, go right ahead, try, you know. And the reason I tell you that, I say that, because as long as you can convince the United States to not commit, I think that's what he told Netanyahu. Now, what that would do, let's say Israel and Iran go at it full bore. You know, Saudi Arabia is going to get involved, of course, and so is Syria. All right. This would lead, at some point, the state
and the United Arab Emirates, they're going to wait on in, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's not, and possibly Turkey. At some point, the Strait of Hormuz would be closed down, okay, either from too much firepower or maybe a few sunken ships or whatever. Saudi oil fields, many of them, if not most of them, would probably be destroyed. And the same thing with the other Emirates, okay? So who would be making out if that happens? As long as Russia's not involved, Russia would have be sitting pretty as far as their oil goes. The other thing I want to ask you, though, is how about they keep saying that we're now self-sufficient in oil because of the fracking and all that. What do you think? Is this BS or is it really true?
Well, it's the fracking hasn't produced the volume of product that was originally expected, but there's been a lot of conventional drilling authorized along the coastlines and up around Alaska, and our total oil and gas production is now pretty close to what Saudi Arabia is doing. How long it will last, of course, is not really known.
So wouldn't you think that that would keep the prices down? As a matter of fact, it should be keeping the price down already, if that's the case?
No, the oil companies want the prices to go up. You know, Saudi Arabia needs $88 a barrel oil to balance their government budget. And you'd be surprised how much of the oil harvested here in the United States is actually sold to other countries. Most of the oil from up around Alaska gets sold to Japan, for one thing. So it's all about the money and all about the profitability.
We were told, I remember when they said, well, we're going to really be self-sufficient. As a matter of fact, Trump himself said that when it comes to oil and all that. That means...
Well, that was part of the selling point. That was part of the selling point to get people to go along with seeing more oil rigs off the coastline or in their backyard, and to be quiet about more pipelines being built across very delicate lands. You know, we're going to be self-sufficient. No, it's just all about getting more of that oil out of the ground and getting it to market. The last time oil prices went down, it caused a lot of damage. It certainly didn't help Venezuela. It didn't help the United States. A lot of the fracking companies actually went out of business, and it did more harm to the U.S. and and Venezuela than it did to Russia.
I don't like fracking either. I think it's dangerous to the water, the groundwater, and it's dangerous as far as earthquakes go. It's really,
absolutely.
My own opinion, you know. But do you agree what I was saying about Russia? That Russia would be sitting pretty if this happened, provided they and the United States don't get into it. If that happens, like I said, all bets are off. You know.
Well, here's the problem with that. Putin knows that Israel has nuclear weapons, and that if the U.S. stays out and Russia stays out and Israel goes after Syria and Iran itself, again, same situation. They're running out of weapons. I mean, yes, the U.S. is sending them all the bombs and bullets they could possibly want, but we could get into a situation where Israel goes ahead and deploys a nuclear weapon. What Netanyahu wanted was to just get Russia to stay out of the situation. But I'm not seeing any of the Russian forces leaving Syria yet.
Well, in that respect, I'm saying that might have been part of what they were talking about. Putin might have said, look, you go nuclear, you're done. Okay? We have a heck of a lot more nukes than you, and you're one little country. He might have told them something like that. But if you want to go at it with Iran, go right ahead. As long as the U.S. doesn't say, I'm just speculating.
I don't think so. Again, because Russia and Iran are major trading partners, and Putin really doesn't want to lose that. Putin, throughout all of this stuff, has been the voice of calm and reason, and so he's not going to be encouraging anybody to go to war with anybody. Netanyahu went to Russia to try and get Russia to cooperate with Israel to resolve the situation, meaning help Israel basically conquer Syria and so forth. And Putin told him flat out no. And we know this because, you know, Netanyahu tried to grandstand, get up next to Putin in that that military parade, which was very impressive. Putin pulled that veteran in and put the veteran beside himself, forcing Netanyahu to step away and back. And if you look at the look on Netanyahu's face, he is not a happy man. He does not look like a man who got anything that he wanted from this trip to Moscow. That's what I think.
Do you think Netanyahu's that stupid that he would think that Putin would go along with him, as far as the way you put it, that he just back out?
It's chutzpah. Yeah. Netanyahu, basically, I guess he's so used to getting everything that he wants from the United States government that he just figured he could fly on over to Russia and get whatever he wanted from Putin. And that must have been a rude wake-up call for him.
That's unbelievable. I mean, he wasn't even getting everything he wanted out of Obama, let alone...
Well, he's getting everything he wants out of Trump now.
That he is. And it's disgusting, and it's scary what's going on because, you know, we're at a brink. That's all I can say. We are at a brink.
Yes.
And I just know we're going to go with this, you know. It's also possible that Iran has nukes already.
I would disagree with that simply because Iran was overflowing with all kinds of sensing aircraft. The IAEA is in there. There are cameras in all of their nuclear facilities. The IAEA acknowledges that Iran quit trying to build a nuke in 2003 because things were kind of calm back then, and they didn't think they were really going to need one, and they wanted to invest the money in the civilian infrastructure.
Nukes too. They could buy them from China, if not from Russia. They could even buy them from the United States in the black market or something. I mean, the Israeli, that's how Israel got their nukes, right?
They stole the uranium from the United States, and Israel, which has not signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, has been caught selling nuclear weapons to other countries, the former government of South Africa. Now, under the terms of the NNPT and the IAEA inspections, here's why it's going to be very difficult for anybody to buy a nuclear bomb from another country. And that is because the arsenals of every country are cataloged and listed and the information held by the IAEA. And every once in a while, they go back in and they do a count. And if the country comes up short, they'd better have a really good explanation of where that nuclear warhead went.
Okay, I get it. So even we're subject to that, the United States?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Now, the Israelis aren't. The Israelis still will not officially acknowledge they're a nuclear power. The one fly in the ointment, as far as the U.S. is concerned, is very strange air mission out of Minot Air Base back when we were just starting to really whoop on Iraq. And the story goes that an aircraft departed Minot with six live nuclear weapons on the wing pylons, which is not how you transport nuclear weapons. You don't put them on the wing pylons unless there's a possibility you're going to use them. And part of the story is that somebody in the administration may have given the authorization for a nuclear strike on Iraq, and then it was basically called off as really not being a good idea. But apparently when the plane came back and actually landed on a second airbase, there were only five of the weapons still on the wing pylons. Nobody knows where the sixth one went, and the flight crew died under suspicious circumstances shortly thereafter. So we don't know what's out there. Anybody who can get the weapons-grade uranium knows how to build a bomb. Well, very, very easy.
I guess all we can do is pray for the best right now. Pray for peace.
Well, you know, right now we could use a really large asteroid on Tel Aviv. And I hate to say it because Washington, D.C., and I hate it because I still want to see my ancestors' signature on the Declaration of Independence someday. And there's a lot of really cool museums in Washington, D.C., such as the Smithsonian Air and Space. And some of the stuff I worked on back at NASA is on display there. And I got to tell you, you have no idea how old something like that can make you feel.
The other hope is that maybe space aliens are really going to do something to stop it. Supposedly, they've interfered already in nuclear bases in both the United States and the old Soviet Union before. So I don't know if I believe that or not, but, you know, I mean, we can hope and pray for anything.
Well,
God himself.
I'm absolutely convinced that the universe is full of intelligent life. The place is simply too big for it not to have happened. I just don't see a reason why any advanced civilization capable of interstellar travel would have any interest in us. We have nothing they need, nothing they want. You know, it's less than a 1% chance they could visit our planet without full environmental suits. Use my favorite analogy, when you're driving down the freeway in your car, do you stop and get out and visit every anthill that you pass?
No, but those ants don't have nuclear weapons. A lot of people say that what started getting a lot of interest, the aliens into us, were after World War II, and that's why that ship at Roswell, you know, supposedly was there because that was our main nuclear base at the time. The only problem I have with all of that is they say so many of these crafts have crashed. They had one in Missouri crashed a few years before that.
Okay, all right, Mark. Mark, we're getting into a very questionable territory. First of all, you need to understand a couple of things. What crashed in Roswell was actually a high altitude sensing balloon that was looking for evidence of radiation from Soviet nuclear tests, and they made up the story about the flying saucer, basically, so that the Soviets didn't realize they were being spied on from that far away. And you need to understand, the U.S. military has actually fanned up all this UFO nonsense as a cover for the development of black project aircraft. So when somebody's out there driving across the desert and they see a $1 trillion worth of taxpayer funds whip overhead, they're going to run to the next town and say, I saw a flying saucer. And they're not going to think about that little hangar and that little airfield off in the distance.
All right, I'm just pointing out certain things. I don't say I believe it or I don't believe it. All I know is
we're trying to keep the show grounded in reality. And, you know, I don't think Earth's nuclear weapons are a problem for alien civilizations because we can't get them anywhere yet. Yeah, we can blow up our own planet. We might be able to send a nuke to the moon, for what reason I couldn't possibly say, but we certainly are not a threat to any alien worlds with intelligent civilizations out there. We're centuries away from that kind of situation. All right, Mark, we're going to let you go. We're going to close the phone lines, and we're going to be back with more news after these few words.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Welcome back to reality. And apparently, Russia has completed the delivery of the first regimental set of the S-400 air defense missile to China. Apparently a third ship carrying missing support equipment has arrived at its port of destination. China will begin the acceptance procedures at the end of May. So they now have a regiment of the S-400 missiles, probably not the last. Now, do you remember we had these multiple incidents of U.S. warships just clanging into commercial shipping out here in the Pacific? And one of them was the USS Fitzgerald, and the junior lieutenant in charge of navigating the USS Fitzgerald when it collided with the commercial vessel pleaded guilty to dereliction of duty and acknowledged her role in the deaths of seven sailors last year. Lieutenant J.G. Sarah Kopik cried during her court-martial. She was sentenced to forfeit half of her pay for 3 months, an additional month on top of the two she forfeited. She also received a letter of reprimand. That's not a particularly stiff punishment, although the letter of reprimand could take her off the command track. And during the court-martial, she said, "Not a day goes by where I haven't thought about what I could have done differently. There's nothing I can do now but take responsibility," which is kind of an odd statement, because do you remember after both of these incidents happened, the net was just being flooded with all this stuff about how these commercial ships were being used to attack U.S. warships, that it couldn't possibly be the Navy's problem, that these very expensive container ships and tanker ships were being willingly sacrificed to dent the sides of these U.S. warships. And it was all nonsense. And it's another reminder, propaganda is big business here in the United States. Now, Haspel has been confirmed, and I'm hearing now that Ray McGovern, when he was tackled and thrown to the ground by the Capitol Police, and we're talking about a 78-year-old guy, that he seriously injured his arm. And I'm trying to get in contact with him, get him on the show, and find out exactly what happened from his own mouth. So ex-CIA officer John Curacao, who's a whistleblower, is saying that the pick of Haspel is the single worst pick in D.C., and saying it's insane to have this person who oversaw the torture program in charge of the CIA, and that everything that she's saying inside her confirmation hearing was just to get confirmed. A lot of people were very upset that she refused to say that torture is immoral, and that is a red warning flag to me. And Curacao basically pushed back on the feminist side of this, you know, it's time for a woman to head the CIA. And Curacao says, yeah, after 70 years of leadership by white guys, it's time for a woman, just not this woman, which is very similar to what I was saying during the Hillary Clinton campaign, when I'd get all these emails and phone calls saying, you know, it's time for a woman president. And I say, I don't have a problem with a woman president. I have a problem with this particular person being president. All right, let's turn to a little bit more here of the domestic politics. Judicial Watch has released new emails from the Department of Justice showing that former FBI Director James Comey was advised by FBI officials in May 2017 to consult with special counsel Robert Mueller prior to testifying before any congressional committees regarding the Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election and his firing as FBI director. Can you say collusion, children? I knew you could. So according to reports, Comey met directly with Mueller previous to his June 8, 2017 testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee. Sources said that Comey's opening statement and subsequent testimony were coordinated with Mueller. Now, at the hearing, Comey did reveal he had intentionally leaked material from a memo allegedly documenting a meeting with President Trump in order to help assure the appointment of a special counsel. Now, Comey's leaks were unauthorized and they contained classified information. That's a Title VIII violation. But the important part of the story is the documents released by Judicial Watch are the first to reveal that high-ranking FBI officials helped Comey coordinate his testimony with Mueller. Cover-up, deception, fraud. Now, Mueller is still dealing with these recent court rulings against him, and basically the attitude coming from judges to basically put up or shut up. Judges are threatening to throw all of his cases out of court for insufficient evidence. And adding to his woes, Mueller's biggest media event was the indictment of 13 Russians for collusion. And now the Russians he indicted have pled not guilty, and they're demanding a trial, something Mueller never thought he was going to have to actually go through. So he's on another situation where he may not have the evidence to back up the indictment. We'll be right back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354. Or visit MIG911.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And over at Stormy Daniels, and I don't know why we're still paying attention to her, but there's been a huge goof, because Stormy Daniels' lawyer came on out with accusations against Michael Cohen regarding what appeared to be questionable payments. And he basically got this list of financial transactions that involved Trump's lawyers and a Malaysian company, Actuarial Partners, and a bank in Toronto. And he got all the payments records from these institutions, and he went down and he simply pulled out everyone that said Michael Cohen. But it's a huge goof, because Michael Cohen is actually a very common name. And at least 2 of these accusations are referring to a totally different Michael Cohen with absolutely no connection to Donald Trump. So it's basically undermined the entire credibility of the accusations. And it shows he's not being careful. None of them are being careful. They're just out there lobbying at Trump and his associates. And I have to wonder why they're still doing that. Trump is giving them pretty much everything that they want. So is it out of spite that he beat Hillary Clinton? Is it because he's not in the club? He's not skull and bones? But we're seeing the federal government literally in a state of fragmentation here. Now, Nancy Pelosi was being interviewed by Politico for their Playbook Live event, and she was asked about the Democrats' plans to confront Donald Trump once they won power. And the interviewer mentioned rolling back the tax cut bill and raising taxes. And Pelosi basically said the suggestion Democrats want to raise taxes is accurate. Now, I don't think that's going to play very well when she comes up for re-election. Right now, the polls are basically neck and neck for November. And apparently the GOP is pleased with the primary results so far. And as much of a disappointment as Donald Trump has been, I think people are just fed up with liberal Democrats and all the nonsense. And I think they were just turned off by what we learned about the 2016 election season. Okay, now... article coming out of Investment Watch blog, and it's talking about the links from Robert Mueller to Hillary Clinton. And it starts out basically discrediting the claim that Robert Mueller's Russia investigation against Trump is unbiased, but a cursory look at his team proves otherwise. Every single one of his prosecutors are registered as Democrats. It's hard to find a justification for that. And Robert Mueller added a new member of his team as a prosecutor. The Democratic trend continued. Uzo Asonye is an assistant U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia and was added to Mueller's team as a prosecutor working in the case against former Trump chairman Paul Manafort. Now, Asonye is no doubt excited about her new job, as federal campaign reports show that she most likely has an axe to grind with Trump. In 2008, she donated nearly $1,000 to Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. So at this point, it's obvious the case against Manafort has partisan origins. This is a bought and paid for hit squad. Now, the Department of Justice is still stonewalling Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch is having to sue to get the FISA court transcripts about what exactly happened. How was the Clinton DNC dossier, how was it used to get the warrant for the surveillance of the Trump team? And these are records that are supposed to be made available. They're public records. There's nothing classified in a FISA court transcript. But the Department of Justice is still stonewalling as hard as they can. If that warrant was based on false information, then all the evidence collected with it is invalid in a court of law. By the way, John McCain has now admitted he was the one who gave that ginned up dossier to James Comey. So this whole Trump witch hunt is falling apart, and I'm glad. And I'm glad not because I'm a particular fan of Donald Trump anymore, but because I still see this as a nation of laws governed by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and I don't think we should be tolerant of unethical, immoral behavior by anybody inside the government. It's been about a month since the House Intelligence Committee officially ended their probe into alleged Russian interference in the 2016 election. And a week ago, they released an unredacted version of their report that revealed more lies told by top FBI officials. So the Democrats are trying to fight back. They're trying to find something else where they can keep the story of collusion going. And they've gone back to that idea that Russian interests bought more than 3,500 Facebook ads that swayed the election of 2016 in Trump's favor. And they're just out there saying, we have the ads. It's like McCarthy's, I have a list of names. But when you actually look at the ads, they don't support Trump. Some of them actually support Hillary. A lot of these ads supported progressive causes like Black Lives Matter and gay rights. So it's another nothing burger. Okay. A while back, actually 2013, while Hillary Clinton was getting ready to run for president in 2016, there was a scandal at the State Department in which there was this State Department official, a high-ranking State Department official, in fact, an ambassador, and he was caught up in a sting operation looking into a far-reaching pedophilia ring. And that was a huge scandal. An ambassador caught up. He's a pedophile. And then the story just went away. Never appeared in the media again. No charges filed. No punishment. No justice. Nothing. How high up did that order come from to just shut it down? Did it come from Hillary Clinton? Did it come from Barack Obama? I think it's a legitimate question. And again, don't they vet these people before they're allowed to hold these positions? The last thing you want to do is have an ambassador in another country that is behaving like this. It discredits the entire nation. Now, here's an article that came out of the Daily Bell, and it says that according to the 2016 American Customer Satisfaction Index, the federal government ranks among the bottom of all industries in the United States in customer satisfaction. You can imagine my shock. I'm not satisfied with the federal government. I think we need a cash for clunkers program for the federal government. We take our current bloated, wasteful, inefficient government, we take it over the junkyard, we put it in the little mashup machine, we turn it into a steel coffee table or whatever it's made of, and then every American gets a check for $20,000 with which to buy a new, smaller, more responsive, more efficient government. Now, here's a positive story, not about Donald Trump, but about Melania. Do you remember back when the Obamas were in the White House and Michelle Obama had a staff of 16 people working under her, being paid a combined $1.24 million? Now, that's a lot of people working for a lady who doesn't actually have an official position. There is actually no official position of first lady. It's a courtesy term. But Michelle had them 16 people. Melania has just four. And she's refusing to hire any more, saying that she and her four people are up to handling the workload. So that's a positive right there. Certainly a little less imperial of a first lady. Now, Forbes just released their list of the most powerful people in the country. And in the world, rather. And Xi Jinping, the Secretary General of the Communist Party in China, took first place. Forbes considers him the most powerful man in the world. Vladimir Putin came in second. Donald Trump came in third. So even Forbes sees the United States as in decline. Getting into the economic news here, with Trump's sanctions on Iran, we're going to see a surge in gold demand in Iran, where they're going to be very leery of the paper currency. They're going to want hard assets for the same reason you're all getting into hard assets. That, of course, will put more upward pressure on the price of gold. So if you have gold, hang on to it. The price is going to go up. And yes, we know that the bankers are trying to keep the price down so that they can acquire more gold themselves, discourage people from emptying their bank accounts and their stock portfolio and getting into the metals. But at some point, they're not going to be able to keep it down anymore if there's enough upward pressure. We know that mining output is in decline. We know that demand is up in a lot of areas of the world, not just Iran. Russia and China are buying gold like crazy. It has to go up at some point. It would have gone up a lot before now if it wasn't being rigged, if we weren't being cheated by our own economic government system. Now, Trump's Iran deal exit is forcing the European Union to basically deal with the reality of the United States as the economic policeman of the world. They're all beginning to realize that the U.S. hegemonic domination of the economy based on the Federal Reserve note is a powerful tool for control of the world. And they're starting to say that's not a good idea, mostly because the EU doesn't want to go along with the sanctions on Iran. And the U.S. is already out there threatening sanctions on them. So basically, Trump's violation of the P5+1 deal has left international companies doing business in Iran vulnerable to the extraterritoriality of U.S. law, which enables Washington to punish foreign companies operating in Iran if they have business dealings with the U.S. or using dollar transactions. And right there is a good reason to stop using the dollar. The dollar is no longer king. It's a major player in the global economy, but it's not the dominant one any longer. Another article, this one is out of Zero Hedge. The American dream is dead. We've been seeing it in its death throes now for about two decades. And it starts out saying that one of America's founding myths is of the self-made man, the idea that with enough work and dedication, anybody can climb the social ladder and become wealthy, or at least better off than their parents. Well, that's nonsense. The younger generation now has a much worse lifestyle than their parents. I have a much lower lifestyle than my parents had. And data is showing that the most important drivers of one's success in life are determined right at birth. Most of the people who are poor are poor not because they did anything wrong or they're not willing to work, but because they made the mistake of being born to the wrong parents. According to Michael D. Carr, an economist at the University of Massachusetts, no matter what your educational background is, where you start has become increasingly important to where you end. Now, the reality is that despite all the talk about equality of opportunity, it doesn't really exist. We live in a profoundly unfair society of money junkies, and it is getting worse every single year. The wealth inequality in this country is at dangerous, dangerous levels. Over at Tesla, they're still trying to get another loan of $1.8 billion, and the bank creditors are going on a collateral grab. And they've forced Tesla to add its Fremont manufacturing factory to the pool of assets which secures Tesla's loans. So they're getting very, very nervous. I would really hate to see that company go out of business. I like the Tesla. I've seen them up close. I haven't driven one. And I do think electric cars are going to be the wave of the future. When Claire and I were shopping for a replacement for our stolen Honda, we looked at electric or hybrid vehicles. We just couldn't even begin to afford them, unfortunately. BT, which used to be a British state monopoly, is getting ready to chop 13,000 jobs over the next 3 years and will shutter its current London headquarters under plans to wring out £1.5 billion in costs and boost its flagging share price. It's one of the ironies of the stock market. When a company dumps assets and fires staff, their stock price goes up. It's very predatory. It's very short-sighted, by the way. Now, Secretary of Homeland Security Kirstjen Nielsen, when she was testifying on Capitol Hill, was basically attacked by Democratic Senator Patty Murray, who basically came on out and said Nielsen's opposition to illegal immigration was simply her opinion, her political philosophy. And Nielsen fired back saying, no, it's not a philosophy. It is the law. And she's absolutely right. There are already on the books laws against what these open borders people are doing. And I know Trump wants to build his wall, but all he needs to do is start enforcing the existing laws. Anybody who is employing or transporting or giving shelter to an undocumented worker or illegal immigrant or whatever you want to call it, to be politically correct, should be charged, sent to court, sent to jail. If you cut off that economic incentive for the illegals to come here, they'll stop coming here because nobody's going to want to sneak across that border and deal with the reality they're not going to be able to make any money, they're not going to be able to feed their family, they're not going to be able to pay rent. It's out of control. We'll be right back after these few words.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone. I mean, the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse. So every...
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, as you know, there is still a lot of turmoil in Great Britain regarding the Brexit. And Theresa May is being viewed as making too many concessions to the EU as part of the deal. One of them has to do with what's called the Customs Partnership Plan. And analysts have looked at the numbers and realized it will cost Britain £60 million a week. And, of course, the EU is desperate to keep getting money out of Great Britain to prop up the rest of the European Union, because Germany's not going to want to carry that load all by themselves. Now, the Duke of Wellington, who's the ringleader in the House of Lords, who's trying to reverse Brexit, it turns out that he gets huge European Union land subsidies for his vast country estate. So that's why he wants to stay in the EU. It's personal greed. It's not a matter of principle. He doesn't want the goodies to go away. Okay, yeah. Another variation on the theme. Over in Italy, two opposing groups of Italian Eurosceptics have now decided to join forces. And that means Italy's on the brink of a new radical government, as the diehard Eurosceptic leaders Matteo Salvini and Luigi Di Maio reveal significant progress has been made to the composition of a new executive. Obviously, in Brussels, this is not being viewed in a positive light. It's a nightmare. And you've got Italy straining at the leash. You've got Hungary straining at the leash. The EU experiment is coming to an end. And I'm sure George Soros is just angry as all heck because of all the money he's poured into his dreams of a one-world government, one-world private central bank. But people are pushing back at it, both because of the predations of the European Central Bank and the destruction and crime that the refugee crisis has brought with it. Now, the European Union is following the lead of the United States, and they're now starting to mandate huge numbers of vaccines for the people of the European Union. And they're basically ignoring the concerns of citizens and even municipal authorities that they need to be careful. Remember, a lot of the adverse effects of Gardasil were first reported in the European Union. But EU wants a new vaccine law that will erase any remaining ability for citizens to weigh the risk versus benefit information and make vaccine decisions for themselves. They just want to stand up there and say, stick the needle, stick the needle, stick the needle, stick the needle, stick the needle. And the reality is, the more vaccines are added to the vaccine schedule, the worse the infant mortality rate gets. More about this when we come back from station identification.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.